We want to give everyone a very earnest word of welcome along to the Lord's house on this lovely Sabbath morning. We're thankful for your presence, your faithfulness in attending the meetings here. Let me just read to you one verse from Psalm 89 that's appropriate for our gathering together. It gives us guidance and instruction as we come into the Lord's house. It's the verse 7 of the 89th Psalm. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. So may the Lord be pleased to grant us today that reverence in our hearts and that godly fear as we gather together in his house for both of these meetings this Sabbath day. The first psalm is our opening praise. That man of perfect blessedness who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. The first psalm, and we're going to stand as we sing together, please. Together just in prayer. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Father, as we bow in thy presence, we're mindful of the exhortation of your word, that we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We want to give thee praise from the depths of our heart for your grace that reached down and saved us from our sins. Well, thank you, Father, for saving grace that has been manifested in the lives of many of your people here in this service today. Well, thank you, Father, not just for grace that has saved us, but for grace that has kept us and sustained us. We rejoice that there's grace to help in time of need. Your word says we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Our prayer, Father, as we come into your house today, is that we will grow in grace, that you'll lead us on a little further with yourself. Father, that you'll bless this meeting and all that takes place in it, especially the ministry of your word, as we consider it, meditate upon it, as your word is proclaimed and expounded. We pray, Father, it will be bread to our souls. Our prayer is that you'll feed us today upon manna from heaven. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. We just ask, Father, that the result of our time together in your house today will be, it'll be blessed to building us up in the faith of the gospel. Remember, Paul had to lament that the church at Corinth came not together for the better, but for the worse. We're praying, Father, that each of us here today will be the better for being in your house, that we'll be refreshed spiritually. We want to pray, Father, that we'll be strengthened. You've assured us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We want to pray, Father, that as we grow in the Christian life, that especially we'll grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray you'll deepen our love for the Saviour today. Remember that Paul, after many years as a believer, cried out in prayer that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. And Lord, that's our cry and our prayer as we come into your house today, just that we might know a little more of our Saviour. Take away the blindness from our eyes. How often, Father, we read your word and ponder upon it, and we do not see the things as we ought. We pray that you'll forgive us for our shallowness. We want to pray, Father, you'll come today and anoint us, anoint this meeting. May the Spirit of God descend upon us. We ask thee, Father, to save us from just going through the routine of another service, even the routine, Father, of drawing near to thee in prayer. Remember that your word warns us that we're not just to draw nigh with our lips while our hearts are far away from thee. I want to pray, Father, that you'll come today and prepare our hearts. We're conscious just of the warnings that you give to us in the Scriptures, that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We want to pray, Father, that you'd make us men and women like King David of old. The Scriptures tell us that he was a man after God's own heart. O Lord, we pray that you'll work in our lives to that end. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We ask thee, Father, to bless the families of this congregation. We praise thee for our gathering together today. We ask thee just to bless our fellowship, our time together. We ask that we'll be a means of encouragement, the one to the other. Bless this church. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll lead us on as a congregation in coming days as well, as we've prayed that we might go on personally in the things of God. Our prayer, Father, is that we'll go forward together as a fellowship of your people, that we'll go forward to possess more land for the Lord, that we'll go forward, Father, especially in the winning of souls. We pray that you'll lead us into times of harvest, times of reaping, the times of in-gathering, bringing our sheaves with us. We're mindful, Father, of those away just at this time. Be with them and watch over them on their vacation. Mindful of those that can't be here because of sickness. Lord, draw near to them, we ask, those that are isolating. Even at this time, may each that are unwell know the touch of God upon them. We want to be mindful, Father, of the senior members of our congregation because of age and weakness can no longer gather with us here in the house of God. Lord, we ask thee to be near to them today. May they be conscious that the Lord is with them. May they know your hand upon them. May they know the fulfillment of the promise is thy days, so shall thy strength be. May they know that they're being prayed for, even by your people here in this congregation. We thank you for their many years of faithful support and service to the cause of the gospel here. And Lord, you're no man's debtor. We ask that you'll provide all that they require, even in these latter years of life. We ask thee, Father, that you'll send in others to fill up the vacant places. the vacant places even that have been left by those that have been called from us, promoted to higher service. You've told us we're to pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labourers into his harvest. We ask thee, Father, to hear our prayers to that end. We ask thee to bless the outreach that was conducted yesterday down in County Cavan. Thank you for the Consider Christ outreach, those with a vision to reach Southern Ireland with the gospel. We think, Father, of the vast task that has been undertaken, delivering the literature into all of the main towns and the cities. O Lord, encourage them. Send others to help them in that work. May they hear positive reports as the literature has been received and read. And especially, Father, we're praying it might be the means of bringing many to Christ. We pray, Father, that there will be those that will be saved whose conversion would be noted in that community, that there might even be a trophy of grace, even like the woman at the well in Sychar through her testimony, that many others came to know Christ as well. I want to pray, Father, for the situation in Ukraine. We're mindful, Father, of the ongoing conflict, the help that has been given to the Ukrainians through these very difficult weeks. Lord, we pray again today for the intervention of heaven. Remember how you came and fought for Israel in time past, how you displayed your mighty power. We're asking, Father, that you might do that for the Ukrainian people, even at this time. We want to pray that you'd bring down the Russian government, especially their leader. Remember even how Haman, his actions resulted in his downfall, even in the days of Esther and Mordecai. And Lord, we believe you're the same God. You're the one that sets up one and that brings down another. We ask you to remember our own land, even at this time. We think, Father, of the unrest, the instability that there is politically. We think of the wickedness, even in high places. Lord, we pray that you'll visit us early with your mercy. We ask thee to be merciful and gracious to this land of ours. Remember our own province, even at this time of election. We pray for guidance and direction to be given. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And we're praying, Father, there will be those in government in this land that love the things of God, have a desire, even that righteousness and the laws of God might be established even in this land of ours. So we ask thee, Father, hear our prayers and our cries. Abide with us. And we plead just that we all might be conscious of the power of the Spirit of God descending upon this meeting. Answer these our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read together in the Old Testament scriptures. We're reading in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, the 13th chapter. We'll read at the end of the chapter and then read a few verses in chapter 14. This is a little of the story of Samson. To Judges 13, the verse 15. Let's hear the word of the Lord in our hearts today. Manoah, of course, is Samson's father. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honour? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, saying it is secret? Or the reading there in the margin is wonderful. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, "We shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these." And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. And then just to read a few verses in chapter 14, from verse 6, it says, "Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." Remember, that would have made them unclean. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. So we'll just end there, the close of that 11th verse. And we're praying the Lord will add his blessing today, his own blessing, to this, the public reading of his word. We're thankful for your presence. We bid you all sincerely welcome in the Saviour's name. We're thankful for your fellowship. We want to acknowledge and show our appreciation to you for your faithfulness in attending and supporting the work of God here in Armagh. May the Lord bless you today as you gather with us. Bless our fellowship. Bless the ministry of his word to your hearts. We want to give a word of welcome to all that are watching, listening, joining us on the live stream of this service. We're glad that the service is able to go forth in that manner, and some that can't be here in the house of God, that you're able to join the meeting this morning. Remember, please, the service tonight. 6 o'clock is the prayer meeting downstairs in the church hall. We appeal to you to come and share with us, join with us at the time of prayer. 6:30 is the gospel service. We're going to think a little about Nimrod this evening, and especially Nimrod as a picture of Antichrist. Some of you maybe remember quite a few years ago, Dr. Cook did a series on types or pictures of the Antichrist. We still have the recordings of those. We've had a number of requests for those recordings. So the simplest way for us to provide those to people was to put them up onto the sermon audio site, that our brother Ken took the time to do that. And so you can still listen to those messages yourself. Some of you may have heard them when our brother preached them here. You may like to listen to them again just to refresh your memory. So we're going to think tonight of Nimrod as a picture or as a type of the Antichrist. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee downstairs just in the church hall. Wednesday night at 8:00 is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I'll be preaching myself. We encourage you to come. Remember just the importance of gathering to seek the Lord's help and blessing. Keep in mind that Thursday night of this week is the LTBS TV recordings in the Lurgan Church at 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock. A congregation is required. They have been sending out emails this week. Some of you may have received those. There's an urgent need for folk to sit in the congregation for those two recordings at 8 and 9. There is a recording at 7 that they generally don't have a congregation for. So there is a list in the porch. Just to stress that to you again, if you can go over on Thursday night for the two later recordings, please put your name there on the list today. This coming Friday night, the 29th of April, is the ordination and installation of Mr. Matthew Higgins as the new minister of the congregation in Limavady. That special service of ordination and installation is going to be held in the Macrafelt Church to make use of their facilities, particularly the live stream, so that our brother Matthew's family in Australia will be able to tune in and join the service. We want to encourage you, if you can, to go down to Macrafelt on Thursday night for that special meeting and give your support to our young brother and to Leanne and little Joel at this important stage just in their lives and in the ministry as they take up the work of God there in Limavady. Remember, next Lord's Day, it is the first day of May. Sunday school and Bible class is 10:40, the morning meeting at 11:30, the evening gospel service at 6:30, and there will be the time of prayer preceding the evening service at 6 o'clock. The preacher next Lord's Day is our brother Mr. Noel Shields, an evangelist with the Mission Board, no stranger to the congregation here in Armagh. Remember, our brother came from Glenann, member of the Mulloglass Church. So remember Brother Noel as he comes for both meetings. I'm preaching down in the Mourne congregation at both services next Sabbath day to do the senior Bible class before the morning service. So three meetings down there next Sabbath day, and we certainly would value your prayers for that. Just to emphasise that Tuesday week, the 3rd of May, the outreach work is recommencing for the summer. The outreach team meeting here at the church at 7:30 on that Tuesday evening. The plan is to go out on the first Tuesday evening of every month through the summer until September. So please keep that in mind. Those of you who have been involved in the outreach, been members of the outreach team in the past, I want to encourage others as the restrictions and so on are now lifted. Circumstances are much better. We want to encourage you to get involved in the outreach team as well. Give your support to our brother Billy, our brother Fred, the two brethren, as they especially lead that work. And we want to ask you to remember that. Do give good support to it. If you'd like to join the team, speak to our brother Billy McCrum about that just as soon as possible. He would appreciate that very much indeed. Wednesday night week, the 4th of May, at our midweek service, we're having a visit from two of the Kenyan pastors, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Patrice. The Mission Board's bringing them over for a few weeks for the missionary conference, just to encourage them by a visit here to the churches in Northern Ireland, bringing them over for the missionary conference for the ministry and the fellowship there. But they will be visiting several of our congregations. They will be in Mourne next Sunday evening when I'm down there in the will of the Lord. So we're glad that they're going to be able to visit with us here in Armagh. Both of the brethren will speak to us, give a little report and update, minister to us in that service. So I want to encourage you to come along and hear the two Kenyan pastors. It's a great opportunity just to get to know these brethren and their works a little better. Please make that known. Encourage others to come, set the night aside. Even if you don't regularly come, and remember we'd like more folk to come on a Wednesday night, but even if you don't regularly come, please come along to that meeting Wednesday night week. Remember that the latest LTBS quarterly is available in the porch. Take a look at the other literature as well. The LTBS, the new charity shop in Thomas Street in Armagh, it opened yesterday. We heard reports that they had a busy day. Keep that in mind. If you're down in the city centre, go in and give your support to it. Remember the Mission Board's conference just in 2 weeks' time, Saturday the 7th to Saturday the 14th of May in the Lisburn Church, kindly granted. Remember, there's cards that have been produced that have all the details, both sides. It gives you fairly full details of all that will be taking place, particularly the subjects and the speakers. Take those. If you want to take some extra and give them to others, that would be much appreciated. Remember the Youth Council events that are coming up, Castle Whelan, just at the end of this week, over the weekend, the outreach to Convoy. That's from the 4th to the 10th of July for those 16 and over, and the outreach to Tavistock a little later in the summer, the 25th of July to the 1st of August, for those that are 18 and over. So all of the deadlines are approaching for those. The Reverend Paul Foster, the President of the Youth Council, asked us just to stress that. And all the details, or the full details of all of those activities, can be found on the Youth Council website. As a congregation, we want to sympathise with Alan Nicholson and the family on the death of Alan's uncle, Robert Smith. Robert was Alan's late mother's brother. Robert passed away very suddenly just on Thursday evening in the Mater Hospital in Dublin. Alan was very close with his uncle. Alan was like a son to Robert. So it has been a great shock to Alan and the family. The funeral service is this afternoon in Garmony's Grove Presbyterian Church. As a congregation, we want to assure Alan and Andrea and all the family circle just of our deepest sympathy and prayers. Kieran had a death in his family circle during this past week as well. We want to sympathise with Kieran also in that bereavement. And we're glad to see little Ezra out in the service with us this morning as well. We're going to sing together, please, another hymn. It's the words of the hymn 169. We're going to make it our prayer as we come to the Word of God. It's in keeping with the theme of the message this morning. Breathe upon us, Lord, from heaven. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Promise of the Father given. Send us now at Pentecost. So the hymn 169, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing together, please.
Father, heaven, send.
bow together just in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're glad we can draw nigh to Thee. We rejoice. The way is always open into Your presence. We acknowledge that we need to be taught of Thyself. We have come, Father, to Your house today that we might learn of Thee. We ask Thee to teach us to pray. Lord, even after these many years as believers, we confess that we still need to be taught how to call upon Thee at the throne of grace. Give us the spirit of prayer. We ask Thee, Father, to come and teach us today from Your word. And may You show us things we've never seen before, never known. Give us, Father, an understanding of the Scriptures. And Lord, we pray for a message from God. What a difference that would make to the meeting. We ask Thee, Father, that You'll be pleased just to remember those that grieve at this time. We ask Thee to remember our brother Alan, the whole family circle. Draw near to them, we pray. Sustain them through the funeral service, the days to come. Our brother Kieran too, and the bereavement, the difficult circumstances just of these past few days. We're mindful, Father, of our brother Cecil too, in his recent loss of his brother. We pray for the Watsons. We ask Thee, Father, to be near to them, the Ramsay family as well. All, Father, that have been through the valley of the shadow of death just in recent days. How, Father, that You've reminded us that in the midst of life we are in death, that here we have no continuing city. We want to pray, Father, that we would know the two edges of the sword of the Spirit at this time. May those that grieve know the comfort of the Lord in their hearts, in their souls. But we pray, Father, we'll also know the challenge of just how short our time is, and that we must work the works of Him that sent us while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We pray, Father, grant us now the infilling of the Spirit. We've just sung together these words, breathe upon us, Lord from heaven, fill us with the Holy Ghost. That is the earnest cry of all our hearts today. And we offer, Father, these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Judges, the 13th chapter, the words of the 24th verse. Our text this morning. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Can underline or emphasize especially the words in the middle of the verse, and called his name Samson. Keep in mind that we're engaged these Sabbath mornings in a general series just looking at some of the scriptural biographies. Remember, the Word of God says that these things are written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So the Lord wants us to learn lessons from all the lives that are recorded for us in the Scriptures. The theme this morning, as we come to the life of Samson, is the strong man who was weak. Can remind you that the names in the Scriptures are a very interesting study, because all the names that are found in the Scriptures are of great significance. We choose names in our Western culture generally because we like a name, but that was not the case in the Scriptures in Bible times. In those days, names were given to describe circumstances, often the circumstances in which a child was born. It was maybe given to describe a work that they were to do, or work that they had done. Or it was given as well to describe character, maybe the character of some of the family members and so forth. So I want you to understand that Bible names are of great significance. And the name of Samson is no different. Some suggest the name of Samson means distinguished. We sometimes talk about a person who has distinguished themselves. And that's the idea behind the meaning of Samson's name. And how appropriate, brethren and sisters, that name and that meaning is. Because Samson's life certainly was distinguished. Samson lived a life that stood out. His life, in many ways, was like no other life. For example, his birth was foretold, in that he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a foreshadowing there. As well, he was one of the judges, one of the 12 judges of the nation of Israel. So he stands out for that fact, that he's included in that list, that company, that distinguished company. And he judged Israel for 20 years, for a score of years. That was the period of time that he bore influence over the land. So the life of Samson is distinguished for many things. But let me speak to you for a short time this morning about two very prominent distinguishing marks, two very prominent distinguishing features in Samson's life. And these two things, the two distinguishing features we're going to meditate upon together, they reveal a very great contrast that there was in the life of Samson, the strong man who was weak. So first of all, let me speak to you a little, or emphasize the fact that Samson was a man who was distinguished for his strength. Samson was known as the strongest man who ever lived. That's one of the questions that the children are taught in Sunday school when they're going through the questions of the catechism. Solomon was distinguished for his wisdom. Methuselah was distinguished for his age. And Samson, he was the man that was distinguished for his strength. No man ever before or after Samson possessed the great physical strength that this man had. And the Bible records for us a number of displays of the physical strength that occurred during Samson's life. In the 14th chapter, we read the details of it in the 6th verse. We're told that he tore a lion in two. And we're told when he took a hold of that lion and he rent it asunder, it was just as if it was a kid in his hands. That's just how easy it was to him, because of the vast strength that he had. I suggest to you this morning that most of us might find it hard, even impossible, to take a kid and to tear it into two pieces. In the 15th chapter, the following chapter, we're told that Samson killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. The reality, there never was a warrior like Samson, even in all biblical history. A man who slew so many of his enemies, slew 1,000 men. And he slew them at the same time, single-handedly, with a very crude weapon, just with the jawbone of an ass. It's a demonstration of the great physical strength that he had. It was as if every time he made a strike or a blow on that occasion, it took the life of a man. Also in chapter 16, you're told that he carried the gates of Gaza. That was one of the Philistine cities, one of the main Philistine cities. He carried the gates of Gaza all the way to Hebron. And the wording of the passage there is, the idea is just as if he pulled the gates up by root. If you go down to the end of the driveway and have a go at that this morning, well, that's just what he did. His strength was so great. Just the same way you would pull up a shrub out of a flower bed, he reached out, caught a hold of the gates and pulled them up. And that was only the beginning of that display of strength, because he carried them from Gaza all the way to Hebron. Some try to play that down a wee bit. It must be a different Hebron, because as the crow flies, Hebron was 38 miles away from Gaza. So what that would mean, he would pull up the gates for you to go down to the end of the drive there, pull up the gates of the church and carry them single-handedly, basically all the way to Belfast. That's exactly what Samson did on that occasion. And then at the end of chapter 16, you read of him pushing the pillars at the end of his life. Those two great pillars that supported the great house where the Philistines were making merry. It was the house of Dagon, their god. It was a house of worship, of false worship, of idolatry. And as Samson pushed the pillars, there was 3,000 on the rooftop. And they all died at that time. And remember how the Bible summed it up? He slew more in his death than he did in his life. So those are just the main examples. Samson was a man that was distinguished for his great physical strength. But I want to stress this, brethren and sisters, what we must be careful to realize and remember is that Samson was not strong because of the size of his muscles. Sometimes you see a fellow there with great muscles, you take a look at him, must be a very strong fellow. Well, Samson didn't have bulging biceps. He wasn't the sort of man that had a physique like Mr. Atlas or Mr. Universe. To look at Samson, to look at his body, he would have just been like any other man, just like an ordinary person. What made Samson strong was the Spirit of God in his life. The power that Samson had was a power that was given to him by the Holy Ghost, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that rested upon him. If you take a look there at verse 6, when we are told, verse 6 of chapter 14, we're told about him tearing that lion asunder. Notice how the verse 6 begins. The Spirit of the Lord came, do you see the strength of it? Came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. Look a little further down the chapter, to verse 19. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. So I want you to see, brethren and sisters, it was because he was a Nazarite. In other words, from his very birth, he lived a life that was separated unto God. And because of that, the Holy Ghost came upon his life, as we see there, on occasions came mightily in an extraordinary manner. And that's what gave him his unusual strength. Samson had no power of himself. You see that at the end of the story when the Philistines were able to overcome him, put out his eyes, put him in prison, put him into the grinding house. He had no power of himself. The power that Samson had was the power of God that rested upon his life. And the same was true of Elijah. How did Elijah run 20 miles and more? And that's the distance across the great plain of Megiddo. Do you remember after the confrontation on Mount Carmel, he ran in front of Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel, a distance of 20 miles and more. Well, how did he do that? Well, the Bible tells us the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He did it by the power of God. And what a lesson, brethren and sisters. The reality for us all here today, any strength, any power, any might that you will ever have as a Christian, any power that you will ever have to live for God, to be faithful to God in this wicked world, this wicked age in which we're found, any power and might that you will ever have to serve God in a way that brings his blessing upon your labors. Remember when we looked at young John Mark, he left his mark, he left his influence for God. Well, if you're going to serve God in a way that leaves a mark, that you leave your influence, the only way that you'll get that power and that might is from the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life. Pray the Lord might impress that upon your heart today as never before. The prophet Zechariah said, it's not by might, nor by power. In other words, it's not in your might. It's not in physical or bodily strength or bodily power. And then he went on at the end of the verse to conclude, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. What he's saying is, if you want to be strong for God, then pray for the power of God. Pray for the infilling of the Holy Ghost in your life. And can remind you that that's what the New Testament teaches. He gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So I want to urge you, brethren and sisters, to do that. Do it privately. I want to appeal you to come out to the prayer meetings and pray with us, plead with us for the power of the Holy Ghost to fall upon the witness here, to fall upon the ministry of this church, for the power of the Holy Ghost to come down upon this beloved province of ours once again. We're going to finish the meeting in the will of the Lord singing a verse or two of the hymn, Search Me, O God. That was a hymn that was penned by J. Edwin Orr. He was a Belfast man. The 35th anniversary of his death was just on Friday past, the 22nd of April, 1987. He was a man that experienced revival. He was a theologian of revival. He was a man that was seen as an authority on the subject of revival. And he lived through days of great blessing. And there's a series of books that you can buy that tells the story. But we need it again, brethren and sisters. Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? So I appeal to you, pray, brethren and sisters. Plead with God for the power of the Holy Ghost to come down upon us. So Samson was distinguished for his strength. But there's something else that must be noted in the life of Samson, and that is that he was also distinguished for his weakness. Now that might seem strange. It might seem like a paradox, a conflict. At first it might sound as if it cannot be true. And yet it is, brethren and sisters. The man who was known for his strength was also known, and it's recorded for us in the Bible, he was also known for his weakness, his great weakness. Samson was, as the theme of the message today sums it up, Samson was the strong man who was weak. He had legendary physical strength, even to this very day. We have considered that a little, pondered upon it in an earlier part of this message. He had legendary physical strength, but he was also a man who was very weak. He especially had a very weak moral character. Samson had a deplorable weakness for women. Take time to read the chapters. You read of his love and lust for a Philistine woman. You learn of him with a Philistine harlot in Gaza. That's the time when he ripped up the gates and carried them to Hebron. You think too of his tragic, and that's the only way it can be described, his tragic relationship with Delilah. You see, sadly, brethren and sisters, he wasn't careful about his company, wasn't careful about his relationships, especially with the opposite sex. He played with temptation, and he played very carelessly with temptation. And the tragedy is that it was that weakness that caused the strong man to fall, that caused the strong man to make shipwreck of his life and his testimony. And with the child of God, with every child of God, the reality is it can be the same. You can be mighty for God in many ways. You can labor at times for the Lord in the full power of a spirit, and yet by some fleshly weakness, disgrace yourself. Maybe far worse, you could disgrace the testimony of the cause of the gospel. So what a warning, brethren and sisters. That's one of the great lessons, one of the great warnings that the Bible sounds out from the life of Samson. It is said that a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And in reality, every Christian is only as strong as their weakest point. And brethren and sisters, can I highlight for you, all of us need to know and need to guard carefully against the weaknesses, the weak points in all our lives, all our characters, all our spiritual walk with God. Many people, before they were saved, developed evil habits. habits which they find very hard to break after conversion. Those habits are weaknesses. They can be very dangerous weaknesses in a Christian's life, in a Christian's spiritual life, their walk with God. Even some Christians have what the psalmist, Psalm 90, verse 8, calls secret sins. Isn't that interesting? Maybe even sobering. Secret sins. Sins that they succumb to in private. Weak points in their life, in their character, that only they or very few others know anything about. They hide from others. Maybe there's someone here today and you have identified such secret sins in your life, things that you struggle with as a child of God. But here's the question, brethren and sisters. How do you deal with those weaknesses? How do you overcome them? How do you overcome those secret sins? Well, the first step is this, to understand that it is God's will for you to get the victory over sin in your life. Remember the promise of Paul that he recorded in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. So take encouragement from that statement of God's word. God doesn't want you to be a slave to sin. He doesn't want you to be a slave to sinful habits. So I encourage you to note the promise, Romans 6:14. Claim the promise in prayer and pray for God's help. Pray the Lord will fulfill it in your life. Pray that God will deliver you from the power of sin, from the power of those secret sins in your life. And then something practical that you can do as well is to avoid all contact with whatever it is or whoever it is that causes you to sin in that way. Don't go anywhere near it, or don't go anywhere near them. Don't carry the thing around with you that causes temptation in your life. Stay clear of whatever it is. Don't be in the place where you can be enticed or you can be tempted by it. Paul said, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Remember Joseph fleeing from Potiphar's house? Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. In other words, Paul's spiritual counsel there is this: cut yourself off as much as possible from all contact with the old habits of sin and fill up the place in your life that they once held with all the things of God, all the spiritual graces. Pray that the Lord will develop those in your life, the things that he has listed there in 1 Timothy 6, verse 11. Now, I know that's easy said, but it's very hard to do. But God will give you the help. That's why we need the power of the Spirit. Remember, I emphasize that. Any power that you will ever have as a Christian to stand faithful for God in this wicked generation, it only comes by the power of the Holy Ghost upon your life. That's why it's so important to regularly, continually seek God for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Remember as well that he's promised grace to help in time of need. Not just grace to save. If you're unconverted in the meeting this morning, there is grace to save you, grace to reach you wherever you are, grace to lift you from the depths of your sin, grace to redeem you, grace to forgive you. We want to plead with you to come to Christ if you've never done that before. But for the Christian, sometimes we get the idea when we get saved, that's all we have to do with grace. There's grace to help the child of God. Grace to help in time of need. And overcoming sin in the life of the Christian, well, that's a great need for all of us. Therefore, you can have this provision, the helping grace. So I want to encourage you, as you pray for the power of the Spirit in your life, pray and ask God to give you the grace, the sufficiency of his grace that you need in those very difficult situations. So, brethren and sisters, I say to you, look at Samson today. Remember, we're to look into the mirror of the Word of God. And as you look at Samson, see the danger see how his weakness, that weakness in his character, that weakness of a strong man, a very strong man physically, but that weakness destroyed his life, destroyed his testimony, destroyed his usefulness for God, destroyed his service for the Lord. And as you look at those things, realize that your weakness needs to be addressed and dealt with too, or it'll do the same in your life. The danger is it could bring you down the same road, bring you to the same end, to the same shipwreck. So Samson, the strong man who was weak, the man who was distinguished, his name meant distinguished, and he certainly was, distinguished for his strength, but also distinguished for his weakness. So say to you as a close, may the Lord teach us all today from this biblical character study. May the Lord teach us all from the warning of Samson's life to guide or to guard our hearts and to guard our walk and to guard our testimony with all our heart and with all of our soul. So just think of those words that we took as our text. The woman bare a son and called his name Samson, called his name Distinguished, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. We'll sing a verse or two of Edwin Orr's revival hymn. It's appropriate as we think of, we've been considering the Word of God has turned the searchlight on our hearts today. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Leave out the second, and we'll stand together to sing, please. Father, we want to commit ourselves to thee at the close of the service. We rejoice in your hand upon this meeting. Thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for the good word of God. We want to thank you, Father, for this book that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, to guide us through this dark world, and to guide us how to live for Christ in the days in which we're found. Do bless and write upon every heart the lessons of the scriptures today. We remember that the Saviour said to the disciples that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've been reminded, Father, of our own weakness today. We're not sufficient for these things. Our cry to thee is, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thank you for the promise that you're able to keep us from falling. We want, Father, to plead that promise as we set out on a new week together, even as your people. Grant us the power of God today. Lord, we need that power in the days in which we're found more than ever. Pour it out fully, even mightily, upon us, as the word of God records of Samson. Give us, Father, that mighty endowment of power from on high. Grant us your grace. Lord, we thank you that you give more grace, that there's a sufficiency in the grace of God for every circumstance, for every situation. Lord, give us the grace we need for this day, and we ask you to give us the grace we need for the days of this week that lies before us. Remember us tonight, Father. Bring in the lost. We're praying for visitors. We're praying, Father, that you'll bring in the unconverted. We're asking thee to be mindful of our outreach team as they will commence to go forth again on Tuesday week. Give a night that's suitable. And Lord, we pray that through their efforts that many will come into this church and many will come to know Christ as their Saviour. Hear these our prayers. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thank you for your presence. Do remember the meeting tonight. We encourage you to come again and join with us.